The epistle for this Feast of All Saints is a reading from the Apocalypse of St. John. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed, of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Zabulon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 signed. After this I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and the ancients and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces and adored God, saying, Amen. Benediction and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for the gospel. The gospel is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him, and opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly, for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Thus ends the gospel. Please be seated. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All the fathers of the church and all the authors today say that if we want to know a summary of the Catholic faith, just read the New Testament. It tells us everything we need to know about the Catholic faith. And if we want a summary of the New Testament, read our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And if we want a summary of the Sermon on the Mount, read the Eight Beatitudes. The Eight Beatitudes are at the essence. They are at the heart of our religion. All the things we do, the commandments, the precepts, we do them because they provide a structure. They are according to the mind of God, and they lead us to be free enough from ourselves, from our vices, from our weaknesses, to be able to practice the Eight Beatitudes. But it's such a strange section of the gospel. If we really look at it, it's so strange that we read over it. We think, this is really good. Need to be poor, need to be meek, need to be humble, need to, what are the other ones? I don't remember, but we need to do them. It's a shame. It's a shame. Because the Beatitudes are mysterious. We know that. We read them and we see that there's something mysterious here. Part of the mystery does lie in the language a little bit. And we read these scholarly fathers and scholarly commentators today, and they say, well, you know, our Lord spoke in Aramaic, and this was written down in Greek, and you have the Hebrew, and then you have the translation of Latin and into English, and this and that. So we can get put off by thinking, well, I need to have a PhD in linguistics just to understand anything that's going on. Well, it's not quite true. There are some key ideas. If we have these key ideas, then they can get us to a point where through our own meditation, through our own prayer, we can enter ourselves more deeply into the Beatitudes. So one of the words that many people don't quite understand is this word blessed. What does that mean? We know what it means to come up to the altar rail after Mass and get a blessing. Well, that's a good thing. We get grace, I guess. And what's the big deal about that? But blessed, the way we translate it into English is not quite the most helpful way, maybe, to communicate the original intent. What they meant when they said blessed was the person who had a deep internal joy that could not be taken from him. That's what we're trying to use the word blessed now to communicate. It's the same idea that we use for, we say the blessed in heaven. Well, it's not because they got a lot of blessings when they were on earth. It's because they now have the beatific vision and they cannot lose it. They have joy that cannot be taken from them. It is theirs. What our Lord is saying, if we're poor in spirit, our heaven starts on earth. We're blessed. Just as the blessed in heaven, their joy can't be taken because they see God. We ourselves, if we have a true poverty of spirit, our Lord is telling us, as strange as it sounds to our ears, he's using the same word. We are blessed. 8 times in the Beatitudes, 8 times, this profound joy that we cannot have taken from us. It's an amazing thing. And once we understand that, well, okay, hey, I'm going to start paying more attention. But then we read on, and the problem is, every time he says blessed, he opposes it with something that we don't really see how it can make us happy. We don't see how it can make us joyful. It's impossible. And yet our Lord does it. He says it. He puts these things together. And the very first one that he starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is a strange thing. We generally, and it's true, it's certainly true, we say the poor in spirit means we're not attached to worldly goods. That is true. But that's not primarily what our Lord is talking about. It's not what he means when he says poor in spirit. Our Lord is speaking of the man who sees that in his soul he is a beggar, that he has nothing that he needs. That's what our Lord's talking about. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The man who sees that, spiritually speaking, he is a pauper. He is bankrupt. He is a beggar. And our Lord says that that man is blessed. That man is existing in a manner that, in some way, is like the saints existing in heaven. It's incredible. It's an amazing thing. But if we come to know ourselves a little bit, we realize how true it is. All these things that seem so mysterious, if we take the time, meditate on them, examine ourselves, we start to see that our Lord, he's always speaking to us, and he's speaking to us very deeply. Because ultimately, every one of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we are poor in spirit. We are. We don't have what we need to be holy. We don't. Anything that's good in us comes from God already. Anything that's wicked in us comes from our own choice. And these good things that God gave us, that He wants us to return to Him, well, we don't do such a good job. We tend to think, we get sidetracked and we say, oh, I have this, this is mine. Look how smart I am, look how good I am, look how virtuous I am, look how pious I am. God's really lucky to get my prayers. We don't even mean to think that way. We really don't mean to think that way, but we end up doing it. And our Lord is saying, stop, stop. You'll be blessed when you realize you don't have anything good. You don't have anything that I need. You don't have anything that I want. Remember, when we say want, we speak of, you know, I have a lack of. The only reason that I look on you and am pleased is because I love you. Because from all eternity, I've chosen to love you, my creature. That's it. That's all we really have, is God's love for us. And once we realize that, once we realize that we don't have to be perfect, that we can't be perfect, once we stop smashing our heads against the wall saying, why can't I be more pious? Why don't I like to pray? Why do I keep losing my temper? Why do I keep falling to these sins? Once we stop doing that and say, because I'm weak, because I'm wounded, because I need God's grace, because I can't do this by myself. Once we start to do that, we will start to become blessed. We will have, if we can already be in the state of grace, but still be smashing our heads against the wall, but then we will start to have the blessed Trinity, which is in our souls when we're in the state of grace, but our relationship to it will change. And we'll stop looking to ourselves, trying to fix ourselves. And we'll just ask God. And even more importantly, we'll actually get out of the way and let Him work His grace in our souls. Most of our problems in the spiritual life are caused by just getting in the way, getting in God's way. Well, I'm going to fix this. And I know what my spiritual life should look like. I know what my prayers should be like. I know what this should do, and I know how this should happen. No, we don't. We don't. If we just admit that, our life becomes much easier, much, much easier. And it becomes much more peaceful. This was the science of the saints. They finally understood, I am a beggar. Spiritual speaking, I am a beggar. My God, please help me. I can't do what I need to do. I need you to do it. It's a profound act of humility. And that's how they got to heaven. That's it. They corresponded with God's grace. They let God do His part, and they did their part, which was to get out of the way. Now, I'm not saying sit back in your couch and watch TV and wait for God to knock on your shoulder and make you holy. It doesn't work that way. It's one of these strange mysteries of the spiritual life that the more we get out of God's way and strive to correspond with His graces, in a sense, the more active we become. The more we want to give of ourselves, spread God's goodness. So it's a very subtle thing. And we can talk for hours to try to describe it. We can't. We can't. But I promise you this. Each one of you is a beggar. I am, you are, anyone you see is. There's nothing good that we have that didn't come from God. The only difference among us is the degree to which we're willing to admit that and act on it. That's all. That's all. So what do we need to do? Well, practically, identify our predominant fault. That's a good place to start. What's the thing that makes us the weakest? And most people say, well, pride or anger or temptations to this, whatever it is. It's not enough. We need to keep digging. Why do we get angry? What makes us proud? What are we proud of? And we need to keep going until we can't answer why anymore. We hit something that is this tremendous fortress of self-love in us that just is. We can't really answer any questions about it anymore. It just is. There's our predominant fault. And when we start fighting that, we will truly start to feel how weak we are. We will feel our weakness. And just in fighting that predominant fault, God will start to send us graces. And we'll be more and more free to correspond to those graces. But notice, again, it's the same idea. Our Lord gives us these strange oppositions. Blessed, persecuted. Blessed, meek. Blessed, poor. Same thing here. Once we start to enter into our own weakness, and our predominant fault is what makes us very weak, that's when we start to become stronger spiritually. But we start to feel weaker. We start to see ourselves more and more as we are. And yet, we start to become more and more pleasing in God's eyes. Because more and more, He sees His Son in our souls. Our Lord Jesus Christ will be in our souls to the extent that we have died to ourselves. Our Lord lives in our souls to the extent that we have died to ourselves. It's a tremendous mystery. It's a tremendous mystery. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. The spiritual life is much simpler than we make it. This is it. Go after your predominant fault. Ask God for His help. Follow the commandments. Follow the precepts of the church. Pray. That's it. Really, that's pretty much it. I've said everything. Follow the commandments, the Ten Commandments, precepts of the church. Church tells us, mortify yourselves during these times, during these periods of the year. Do this when, you know, at Mass, do this. This is a way to attend Mass. It's very simple. If something seems confusing, come ask a priest and move on. But with peace, peacefully, peacefully. This Feast of All Saints, it can be a busy feast. We're trying to think of all the saints in heaven. And we kind of get an information overload. Just think of the science of the saints. In one sense, all the saints, they're the same. They're the same. Because more and more, they're just like Christ. That's all they did. They put themselves aside and tried to live to our Lord. That's all we have to do. That's all. Do what you know you need to do. Follow the commandments of the church. Follow the Ten Commandments. Follow the precepts of the church. Kill your attachment to mortal sin. Kill your attachment to venial sin. Make acts of renunciation of it. And that's it. But peacefully, with peace. And always, always, always go to Our Lady. She is the Queen of all saints. She's the Queen of heaven. These titles aren't given to her by accident. Pray to her after this Mass. Queen of all saints, make me a saint. It's not a bad Thanksgiving. Mean it. Say it a few times. Mean it. It's a good Thanksgiving. Ask her to obtain the graces that you need to fight whatever it is that's blocking your growth in holiness. And then start. Walk out of the church and start. It's as good a day as any. Ask her for the graces that you need to become a saint. She'll get them for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.